Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. This is your host, Lona Small. eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-hosts, Taiwana Wilson and Stephanie Whitehead, bring to you topics to help you to excel both inside and outside the lab. And today I'm really excited about our topic. And just a little bit about myself. So I'm a quality assurance specialist in the lab. I'm a process improvement consultant, and I'm a coach and trainer in lab OPEX. So today, I just want to ask you, do you get confused with the difference between patient safety and lab safety? For me, as a bench tech, I was only aware of lab safety. The only thing I knew about was making sure we have proper PPE, making sure we're doing our hand hygiene, it was monitored, making sure our environment was clean, and that's all I was aware of. And so when people talk about safety, I always went back to lab safety. Or environmental safety. And when I did a graduate certificate in healthcare quality and patient safety, a whole new world opened up for me. And I was introduced to patient safety. And for you who probably have heard about patient safety, but probably still a bit confused, I'll just give you a simplified definition of patient safety. So patient safety is really the prevention of errors or adverse effects to patients that's associated with healthcare in general. So as a graduate student in healthcare quality, I learned a lot about patient safety. The Institute of Medicine had put out a publication called To Err is Human. And that publication addressed a lot of the errors that were seen in healthcare. As a matter of fact, it was just such a major talk that people were really surprised at the amount of errors that actually happened in healthcare. So there was this major focus on reducing healthcare errors. And then there was another publication that came out from the same Institute of Medicine called Reducing Errors in Healthcare, actually reducing diagnostic errors in healthcare. And with all those discussions in my healthcare MBA, I realized that the lab had so much to do with patient safety. And when you think about diagnostic errors, I know we talk a lot about the lab contributing so much to the diagnosis of the patient. We say that 70% of data for diagnosis comes from the lab. And so with that, with the Institute of Medicine, there's a major push towards safe patient care, timely patient care, effective, efficient, equitable, and patient-centered care. Some people call that the STEEP. So we have a lot, I realize, to do with timely patient care and safe patient care. And so because of that, patient safety became such a big topic for me. Patient safety become like one of those top things that I am aware of and I talk about. And I became part of a team that introduced this method to the lab called comprehensive unit-based safety program. We call it CUSP. So the lab actually was one of the first team of non-nursing, like the first non-nursing team to introduce CUSP. And I was glad to be part of that. So CUSP, Comprehensive Unit-Based Safety Program, is a method that helps team make patient care safer. So they combine things like teamwork and certain best practices, and very importantly, the science of safety training. And they give different resources and tools in order to apply this CUSP method. So with using these tools, it helps to build that capacity to address the safety issues. So when we introduced CUSP to the lab, we found that more frontline workers were involved in that awareness of patient safety. And with the CUSP method, you have frontline workers working with like senior executives and managers to come up with patient safety solutions. So you had staff that were actually feeling very comfortable reporting and discussing patient safety events. And staff were actually leading these meetings, coming up with solutions to prevent these patient safety events. So I know for me what I was used to in the lab, a lot of people would say that patient safety had nothing to do with the lab because we don't do direct patient care. You know, a lot of people would say it has to do with, you know, it's really doctors and nurses that should really care about patient safety because they're the ones dealing directly with patients. And even for us, we get these patient safety survey, and, you know, I've seen supervisors that say, you know, when you're doing these surveys, just think about things that we do in the lab, like PPE and, you know, hand hygiene and things like those. But in reality, that's totally different from patient safety. Lab safety is totally different from patient safety. So when, if you want to get your lab involved in patient safety, I have a few steps that you could use to actually introduce your lab when it comes to patient safety, because it's so important for lab to get involved, because we are directly involved or maybe indirectly involved in many patient safety events. So the first thing that I would say is to create that culture of safety. And when I talk about culture of safety, I'm thinking of culture of patient safety. And so many times it's used interchangeably. When we say safety, it's so easy to get confused because there's so many different aspects of safety. So I'm talking about patient safety. So in order to create that culture of safety, the first thing to do is do training. And what we did when we started our comprehensive unit-based safety program, we actually did a training in the science of safety. And I'm going to put a link in our show notes so that either you do, I mean, I'll probably give you a very small snippet of what the science of safety is, maybe a YouTube video so you can have an idea what that is. But it's important to have your team trained in the science of safety. Another thing that's important in building patient safety culture is actually getting to understand just culture. And so training in just culture is so important. Another thing is to have a format where your team can report patient safety events or issues. So I know a lot of labs have like forms, non-conforming event forms, and that's a requirement through or CAP, where you're reporting patient safety events. And these patient safety events could actually just be events in the lab or events outside of the lab. Say, for instance, if a specimen was aliquoted incorrectly with the wrong label, and you ran that specimen and you got the wrong result, that's a patient safety event because that could affect the patient. So documenting, reporting these events is so important. And once you do the science of safety training, that actually will help you in being comfortable in reporting patient events. So, you know, non-conforming events could be like labeling coming from the unit, incorrect labeling for the tubes, or it could be IV contamination, like specimen that you received that was contaminated with IV fluid. So reporting those. And then there's the hospital event reporting. So for our organization, we have a system where we can report any event through the hospital system where it's reviewed at the hospital level. So anything that could affect the patient, we have an opportunity to report it. And things are reported on events that happen in the lab. So once events are reported that maybe there was an event from the lab where there was the wrong result given to a doctor, and there was probably a near miss where the patient either almost got treated with the wrong result or even got treated, then the next thing is to investigate. So investigating the root cause of any patient safety event is so important. And there's different tools that you use to investigate patient safety events. One popular one is called the five whys. So the five whys basically is just asking yourself more than once, why did this happen, to actually get down to the root cause. So, you know, if say, for instance, something happened, you know, a result was reported incorrectly. Say a high glucose was reported. The first thing you ask would be, why was the glucose reported? Why was the incorrect glucose reported? And it could be because the lab did not have a system to query whenever there's invalid results. But before you get to that root cause, you're going to ask things like, why was the patient treated with a high glucose? Because that was the result that was in the patient chart. Why was that result in the patient chart? Because that was the result reported by the lab. Why did the lab report that result? Because the lab has a protocol to report any results. Why was this? Because the lab was told not to question patient results. So then you'd find that that becomes a problem. And so once you get to the root cause of, you know, any patient safety event, then you have to start learning from those. So five whys is a good example of a way to get to the root cause. But then there's different things like using the fishbone diagram where you're looking at what are the contributing factors. So you could just look at contributing factors when it comes to the patient, when it comes to the actual provider, when it comes to your team. So you look at what are some of those contributing factors. So basically, we just spoke about creating a patient safety culture through training. We looked at having a good format in which we can report patient safety events, and we are now on investigating the root cause of any event. And some of the example would be using the five whys or using a fishbone diagram looking at contributing factors. Once we identify what's causing this patient safety event, it's important to learn from these events. So we could look at what it is that's causing it. Is it a system issue? Is it a process issue? And once we identify what it is that's causing it, then we want to reduce that risk. And I know for CUS has a tool called Learning from Defects. So basically, you know what happened, you know why did it happen, and you know, you start looking at how could I prevent this from happening. So you may have to make changes to reduce the risk. You may, once you identify these factors, you're doing changes when it comes to process or culture. You may look at your just culture and follow those formats, but you want to make sure that you're looking at ways to prevent this from happening again or reducing the risk from happening. So you may have to remove something from your process, or you may need to standardize a process. You may need to start looking at certain communication issues. Do we have a good communication plan? So that is so important to actually reduce the harm. So a lot of times, though, when we look at things, we look at some of these processes, some people still have this mentality that, you know, the lab should be, I've seen that recently where we had a survey and someone was saying things like, you know, make sure that you're thinking about what we did for COVID when it comes to safety. Think of, talk about what we did to keep us safe. So I really am really reiterating the difference. When you get a patient safety culture survey, think of patient safety. Think of your reporting system. Think of how comfortable your staff are when it comes to reporting patient safety events. How involved are they when it comes to reducing risk? How involved are they when it comes to discussing an event to learn from it? So that's basically some of the things you should be looking at, and not looking at things like PPE and cleaning, which is very important when it comes to environmental safety and lab safety. So I know this was a bit quick. I went through five different steps, just making sure you create a safety culture through training. You're having a format in which you can actually report patient safety events. You investigate the root cause and you involve your team. You learn from these events, and learning from these events include having these discussions with your team, reducing the risk, you know, identifying factors that you could either standardize processes, communication, and things like those. So this is so important. But what I would ask for you to do, I know this is kind of a lot to start, you know, initially, but after you finish this podcast, what I would actually recommend you to do is to do something about the culture of safety or the science of safety. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes where you can actually do a quick training on understanding the science of safety. And if you don't get to be to go on our website, you can actually look it up, look up the science of safety, and jump on it and do a quick training. So I'm really excited that I was able to share with you the difference between patient safety and lab safety. I've had a lot of discussion that recently we were doing a culture of safety survey, and I've heard a lot of discussion about using lab safety. And so I wanted to make sure that we in the lab are aware of the difference between patient safety and lab safety. And another thing that's so important for us to realize is how impactful we as the lab, we are when it comes to patient safety. And so I know I asked you to listen to or watch the science of safety, but another thing that you could do if you already are involved in patient safety is to try to get involved in things like stroke initiative or sepsis initiative. And sepsis and stroke are one of the most leading cause of patient safety events, and we have a lot in the lab to do with that, so we could contribute on that level. So until I talk to you again, have a great one, and just reach out to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com if you want to either be part of the show, if you want to be part of this podcast, if you want to suggest topics that you want to listen to. Basically, it's the email is elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com. And if you want to listen to this episode and other episodes, you can go to directimpactbroadcasting.com or your favorite podcast platform. Until I talk to you again, have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.